This is attorney David Famininio. The best way to protect ourselves from an accident is to be informed. That's why we started David's Driving Edge, to provide tips and resources to keep us all safe on the road. Go to getdavidgetpaid.com/drivingedge for more information.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
This is really exciting. It's off of bye week. TJ's in one piece. He's loose, excited, ready to rock. And he's amongst his people today. The Michigan fans are everywhere. They want to talk to one of the most notable super fans in the area, TJ Lang. Hold on. Before we do anything else, let me throw the number out. Because, people, if you want to ask a few Lions questions, you're welcome to. I mean, clearly his back's fine. He showed up for this stupid radio show. They play Sunday night against the Steelers. We know the deal. If they get their head kicked in, it's going to be sad TJ Tuesday. We'll talk about it. 248-539-9797. But here's the thing. I want to start this out. I have been told by sources close to you that there was a meltdown in the Lang household watching Michigan-Penn State. Is this true?
I was in a bad spot. I was really upset about the Eastern game, losing in overtime.
Was that even on television?
I think it was on ESPN 3 that or would 4,
be,
maybe. I
don't that know. Would be on a laptop. Excellent.
So I was upset about that. I was in a bad spot.
So you went to the Eastern game.
I went to the Eastern game.
Were you sitting in the luxury box?
I was. I was on the field for about half the game. I was upstairs watching the game, and it's been a while since I went to a game. It was exciting stuff.
Celebrity treatment?
Yeah, I mean, we had a lot of former players that were back, so it was good to see some old teammates. Homecoming weekend,
Walt
the crowd
Church
was actually
there.
pretty riled up. So
all 10 of them?
I didn't see Walter. I did see Charlie Batch was there. A couple older guys.
Okay,
Jason Jones.
All right,
long time in the league, Eastern guy.
So you're upset at the Eastern game?
I was upset.
Yes. You're driving home. You're going to settle in for a lovely night at the Lang Estate. You're going to be excited to watch your team, the Michigan Wolverines, take on the Penn State Nittany Lions. I'm told. It went sideways. I'm told there was an explosion. Foul language. I'm told things were not peaceful. Take me through this now. What happened?
You know, there was only one blow up, I would say. And, you know, I didn't have high expectations going into that game. I didn't think Michigan was going to win. I obviously didn't think it was going to be a blowout.
Great, wasn't it?
Sorry. More happy about that than the Michigan State win. You don't even argue that. But there was one play in particular. I think it was either late in the fourth or third quarter, early in the fourth quarter. It was a 4th and 11.
I know what you're going to say. The play pass.
It was ridiculous. 4th and 11. It was either 28-13 or 35-13. I mean, the game was still, it wasn't close. But you didn't think they were going to win it. But, yeah, they roll out a fullback, a tight end, two receivers, and they go play action pass and get sacked for like an 8-yard loss. I mean, what are you doing on 4th and 11? I mean, I don't care if everybody says their receivers aren't experienced and they've got problems at quarterback. But I don't care. You're losing the game by that much. It's 4th and 11. Roll out 4 receivers or 5 receivers and at least throw the ball up. Give yourself a chance. Don't roll out a fullback, a tight end, and 2 receivers and a running back and run a play-action pass, and don't even get the pass off on 4th and 11. That was what really caused my night to really go south. And after that, I honestly turned the game off. I mean, I watched a couple more plays, but it was just ridiculous. And I think, you know, to me, it's you've got basically 3 play callers on the Michigan offensive staff with Harbaugh and Hamilton and Drevno. And how the first person that calls that play, all right, let's go play-action pass, that's something you might do on 3rd and 1 when you're trying to take a shot, whatever it is. The first person calls, okay. Then it goes to the second guy. He gives a thumbs up, and then it goes to Harbaugh, and he gives a thumbs up. I mean, what – It's just, it baffled my mind. I could not comprehend that play call. And it really kind of summed up the whole game and the whole season to this point, you know, to why they're sitting at 5-2. That was really what caused me to snap and just, you know, kind of lose it a little bit. But, you know, it was just frustrating. I think most Michigan fans have been frustrated, especially the last, you know, 3 weeks watching the team. And, you know, it's an inexperienced team. I mean, they got a lot of young guys. I don't think anybody who came into this season thinking that they were going to compete for a Big Ten championship or a playoff spot, I don't think those were realistic goals looking at how many new guys they rolled out as starters. But it's just something that this past week was kind of it tipped over the bowling point, especially with a couple of play calls.
You can feel the anger.
No, it's not anger, Mike. It's just, you know, I think Michigan fans have been waiting for so long to have a good competitive product week in, week out on the football field. And obviously the Michigan State game was a tough loss for a lot of the fans and the players and the coaches, everybody involved. But, you know, 2 weeks later, not saying that, you know, they should have beat Penn State, but people thought they were going to beat Penn State. But I think you expected it to be a little bit more competitive.
All right, so here's what it comes down to. You tell me which. I'm going to give you an A and B situation. Mm-hmm. Ready? So 4th and 11, you're down by a zillion. You play action pass. I form. A or B? A, Harbaugh's either a crazy person, or B, he was completely disengaged at that moment in the game. Because it went through his headset.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably A. And I don't know if it's rather, if it's just, you know, you've got a quarterback who's been very inconsistent the past couple weeks. You've got receivers who, you know, are having a tough time getting open, and you've got an offensive line that was just struggling to block for them. I don't know if it was just something, maybe you're thinking we can get a couple extra blockers in and at least try to give the quarterback a chance, but I still don't understand the play call. I mean, you don't run a play action pass on 4th and 1, let's be honest. I mean, a high school team's not even going to fall for that. If you're running play action pass, you're expecting the linebackers to come up, maybe the safeties to bite on a little bit, create some separation in the back end. I mean, 4th and 11, there's just no place in football for that type of play call. Wow. So I think it was obviously, most of it was on the head coach for, you know, even sending that out there. It's basically just waving the white flag. And if at that point, if that's what you're going to call, just punt the damn ball away, you know.
The anger's still there.
That's good, though, isn't it? That's good to hear some passion.
Love it.
And he's right. You can't argue with what he's saying.
I just wish we had some of that exclusive audio from the blow up.
I don't even really remember what was said. I don't blow up often, Mike. You know I'm a calm guy. I have outbursts every once in a while.
So let me ask you the second part. This is what we're talking to the people about. And obviously people will have their questions for you, and we'll mix in a little Lions talk. But this is the issue of the day. Mm-hmm. I have said, okay, Harbaugh's a good coach. We all know that. Right. Beyond goofing around. He's brought here to elevate the Michigan program. So I've asked, can he elevate them at some point in the future and have a 5-year run like Nick Saban? Or if not Saban, like Urban Meyer, or if not Meyer, you got to pick someone else. But Sully has said he cannot do it. Now, Sully's kind of taking the Lloyd Carr approach. He'll have an okay run and maybe 1 year mix a national title in the mix. Mm-hmm. Do you believe he can be the next Urban Meyer? That's a no.
I don't know. Well, Urban Meyer and Nick Saban are kind of on they're in a league of their own with the dynasties that they've built, you know, at Ohio State and with Alabama. I don't know if that's a realistic goal. Maybe it is, but
isn't that what he was brought here to do?
Ultimately, yes. But I think the first thing is, you know, have a consistent winning program, year in, year out. And that doesn't mean necessarily winning a national championship, but something like what Michigan State has even done the last couple of years, competing for the playoff spots, winning Big Ten championships. I think that would be a good starting point. I think that's where he needs to get before we even talk about, you know, doing what Urban or Nick have accomplished at their, you know, their programs.
Saban's untouchable. I agree with that.
Saban's untouchable.
You know what? What do you think Urban is the last five and a half years now? Do you know his record? Sully, give me the total number of games.
He's probably lost 4 games, 5 games.
A couple more, but you're not far off. Mikey, what was it again?
You say Saban or Meyer? Sorry.
Meyer.
Yeah, Urban Meyer, 67-7 at OSU.
Jesus.
Florida, he was 65-15.
67-7.
Yeah, that's.
What are you kidding me?
And Saban, how many games has he lost the last 5 years? 2?
Oh, Jesus.
3?
I mean, his record's 127-19.
Oh, sure. Oh, Why not? Good God.
Yeah, I think,
at Alabama.
Yeah, you know, I think he can get the program to being at least competing with Ohio State every year to winning the Big Ten championships and competing for playoff spots. I think that's a realistic goal.
All right. Now, as a Michigan super fan that you are,
So, I disagree with that.
Okay. As an ardent supporter of the Maize and Blue, who was raised on Michigan football.
Mm-hmm. I was raised a Michigan fan.
Exactly.
So my fandom isn't as high as it used to be, but I still do enjoy watching.
So here's my question.
I still root for him.
So, like, if you look at Michigan football, mm-hmm. and you look at what they've been for the last 30 years. Now, 97 is the outlier. It's an unbelievable year.
Right.
You realize that they basically lose 3-4 games a year. It's unbelievable when you look back. Like you mentioned Michigan State. They haven't had back-to-back years losing less than 3 games in 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And I think, obviously, we're still kind of feeling a little bit of the effects left over from Rich Rod and Brady Hoke eras.
There it is.
But I think that, you know, Jim Harbaugh in year three now, he's last year, let's be honest, I mean, he came in and a lot of those players that were impact players and stars on that team were guys that were kind of, they were going to be superstars no matter who the coach was. I mean, that's just who they were. They were good recruits coming in, good players. It didn't matter who the coach was. I mean, obviously they were going to be good players. But, you know, now he's still getting good recruiting classes. He's still, you know, however unorthodox his style may be to get guys. But, you know, I still think within the next, you know, 2 or 3 years, it's going to be a team now that I think you can realistically expect them to compete for Big Ten championships. I think this year was unrealistic. I thought of them as an 8, maybe 9 win football team coming into the year, just with how many guys they've lost, on the offensive side and defensive side. But I think within a couple more years, we can really expect them to take a jump and actually compete with Ohio State and Michigan State, let's be honest, because both of them have been thorns in their side. But it's a couple more years. I always think it's too early.
That makes $9 million a year.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean,
Jesus.
Well, there comes a time where, you know, to whom much is given, much more is expected. We all know that, but it's still, you know, it's still, in my mind, relatively early in his career. I think he needs a couple more years before we can sit here and say, all right,
will
the guy needs to go.
Will you renew your season tickets?
I've never had.
Sorry, Sully gave me bad information there. I apologize. We have the rapid fire. People, if you have questions for TJ Lang, whether they're Lions or not, I don't really give a damn because we try to have a fun hour. But go ahead. You can ask him Lions questions, and then he'll, tighten up like a clam. But whatever it may be, fire away. Now, Sully's got the rapid fire, and I have a critical question from what I thought was the craziest moment of the NFL weekend. I want TJ's spin on it. We'll do it next. 97.1. All right, before we get the questions, and I know Sully's got the rapid fire, we got some of the people on the line, and I want to have TJ talk to his people, being a Michigan super fan. The most amazing thing I saw last weekend in the NFL, it wasn't Le'Veon Bell's stiff arm, although that was a delight. It also wasn't the fog in New England. It was this safety for Dallas who had to come in and kick. And I have to tell you, I don't think I could kick a ball 5 yards. Sully, who thinks he's good at everything, said he could go in and hit a 45-yard field goal. TJ is a guy who plays. Let's say Prater gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
They come to you. I gotta have you kick an extra point.
Extra point?
Could you do it?
I think so. I think I could. And the only reason I say that, and you can sire me if you want to, but when I was in Green Bay, they did a family night scrimmage every year. And at the end of it, they would do some sort of competition, whether it was, you know, offensive, defensive linemen competing, catching punts. And there was one year we did a offensive, defensive line field goal competition. And I think I actually got up to about 30 yards and hit one. Now, that was on a tee. So that's obviously a little easier than kicking off the grass.
We're talking snap and hold here. Sully's your holder.
Yeah. I think I could. It'd probably have to be an extra point. Oh, man. I forgot those are like
32-yarders
now.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. I couldn't do it.
If you gave me 5 of them, I could probably make 2. So
I couldn't believe what that guy did.
That was impressive. Yeah, definitely. And they obviously probably – I think every team has a, you know, in case of emergency type deal where, you know, there's one guy designated to, you know, be a long snapper if something happens, our guy, or guy – usually if the kicker gets hurt, the punter goes in and kicks. But, you know, there's always got to be an in case of emergency third or fourth guy that's got to kick. And I don't know who that is on our team, but, man, if I was put under that pressure, I'd like to think if, you know, I could probably go 50% if I had a couple shots at it.
All right, let me ask this question before Sully gets the rapid fire in, because this is one thing I've always wondered. Because I know bye week is like your only shot to chill out a little bit. Mm-hmm. But like everyone, and I'm guilty of it, I always presume that when a team comes off the bye week, they're going to play really well. I don't know if I even have facts to back that up. But it's like when a team comes off a bye and they're at home, you expect they're going to play up. So here's my question, mm-hmm. right? And don't clam up on this. I'm not asking for trade secrets. But like, what the hell exactly do you work on during a bye week where bye week at home generally means team plays well? Like, what can you work on during a bye week?
I think the biggest thing is you do a lot of self-scouting. You know, for us, it was looking at pretty much every single play of the first six games and finding out things that we do well and finding things that, you know, we need to fix and what's working for us and what's not. And you break it down by, you know, every single play. I mean, run plays to the right, run plays to the left, pass plays to the right, pass plays. And you kind of figure out what's your bread and butter, what do you like to go to? And I think, you know, for me, that's something that's always a good time to kind of self-reflect and take time to, you know, look back on the first half of the season, see how you did. And also for us, I mean, I think the biggest thing is we're coming off of, you know, two straight losses, which that's really hard to go, you know, sit a week off after coming off a couple tough losses and just kind of reminisce on that and have that soak into you. I mean, it doesn't really feel good. So I think when you get back to work, like yesterday, we got back, came into practice, and, you know, for whatever reason, it was just a lot of energy. Guys were fired up. Guys were ready to get back to work because there's nothing worse than, you know, taking a loss and sitting on it for 14 days. I mean, you want to get back to work and try to, you know, right the wrong as fast as you can. So I definitely think I like the way that our teams come in this week, especially, and just fired up, ready to go. Obviously going to be a big game, a primetime game here this week.
Let me start this with a question I know you can't answer, and it'll be fun. We'll go to Ed. Go ahead, Eddie.
Hey, Mike, I got a question for TJ. I want to ask about Chiefs Sabor, second-round pick.
Well, what's up, Ed?
What's up?
Corners aren't my specialty.
No, no, I want to ask the question, Eddie. Watch this.
I want to know, what's the deal? Why can't my man get on the field? I was kind of hyped about him coming out the draft. I know he had a slow 40, but it seemed like a playmaker. He's been a healthy scratch all year. Like, is he not making plays in practice, or what's going on?
I have no idea, to be honest with you, man. I know he's been you know, active for a few games, being you know, contributing on special teams and whatnot. But I literally have no answer for you. And I don't know if it's because, you know, Slay's playing good football, Quandre Diggs is playing good football, Nevin Lawson's playing good football. I mean, I just don't know if there's no room for him right now, if they're just letting him kind of you know, take the slow route and learn. But you know, I like the way the kid plays. I mean, I watch him in practice every now and then. Obviously, I don't get a, you know, big chance to watch the receivers and the corners compete. But you know, he's a guy with you know, with a lot of size, and for me, he looks pretty athletic from what I've seen so far. You know, dating back to OTA's training camp, those things. So you know, a lot of times that's just what happens with young guys. You got to come in, you got to kind of learn. I mean, I took the same route, and then eventually, when you get your shot to play, you got to prove your worth. And he's definitely a guy that I know a lot of people have a lot of faith in. So now, maybe it's just something he's got to wait for that opportunity.
It did dawn on me, you have Sunday night football this week, which would mm-hmm. mean your nemesis, Chris Collinsworth. Now, when are the production meetings taking place for you and Collinsworth to pump mitts?
I don't know if I'm invited anymore.
Well, all right. So the backstory, people,
we've settled our a feud that we had.
Let me tell the truth here, because you're too humble.
This is a really thickly built guy.
So it dates back to TJ got thrown into emergency duty to play D tackle for the Packers. He didn't do a good job because, you know, he's not a defensive tackle. Collinsworth ripped him upside down, circled him. This is the worst football player I've ever seen. Awful.
Embarrassed me.
The next year, TJ goes into a production meeting. He takes exception to Collinsworth. Punches are thrown. Very ugly scene. Not good. Collinsworth then complains to PR with the Packers that this man bullied him, that this man caused a problem. There's a major rift here. Now, I want to know, and are you willing to do this for us? Production meeting with the network. Would you allow Roberto to bring a wireless?
I can't just barge into the production meeting.
But you're going to be invited in.
I think I've done like three my whole career.
Wouldn't this be another one? A chance for Collinsworth and you to reconnect?
If they invite me, I might consider wearing a wiretap.
All right, I'll
meet
you
on
there.
My chest. And
Roberto, no, well, could you get Roberto a sticker, like those nice pink stickers where it says, "Hi, my name's Roberto," and he. And he just brings the microphone. He sits there and will tape both of you.
Man. That's a go, right?
Full go.
I'll see what I can do, Roberto, I guess.
Let me ask you this question then. Who's in the production meeting this week?
Well, usually it's whoever calls the game. So
No. So it'll be Collinsworth, but what Lions players will end up going into that meeting?
I have no idea. They usually let you know. Home games, I think they do it on Fridays. So, I mean, it's usually like they'll come to you Thursday and say, hey, the guy's requested you for tomorrow. I think it's only like two guys, though. It's not, I mean, they can't choose between 20 guys to talk.
Stafford will be one, you think?
Probably. Usually,
so here's what I need. This is what I need. This is my birthday wish. Listen to me. I want you to have Stafford go into the production meeting. And at the end of it, after Stafford does what he does, he's a pro. At the end of it, go, I need him to ask Collinsworth, why do you hate TJ Lang?
I could probably do that.
That's what I want. Because we need more Collinsworth audio.
Here's the thing, though. Ever since I called Chris out on that, he has nothing but nice things to say about me. So I don't know if I kind of spooked him a little bit or, you know. It's not that I've completely changed, you know, paths on my view of him.
Yeah, Sully.
We all need to, and listeners include, we all need to watch the broadcast very closely.
Yes.
To see what specifically Collinsworth says about TJ on Sunday Night Football.
That'll tell us a lot about
it. We'll have a highlight package put together of all the niceties he throws your way. Now, if you play terrible, wait till Sunday night at 8:30, you'll start feeling it. The way you guys have been blocking lately.
Well, this whole show has been a jinx to me. So,
what are you talking about?
Penalties, I mean, everything. You know,
started the year 3-0, you should have been 4-0. Don't put that on
me
this
personally.
Show. Well, listen, that's Sully putting those together. Don't look at me. I don't do the audio stuff.
Now I might have to.
He jinxed Joe Thomas. He jinxed Joe Thomas too, when he said how great his streak was.
Yeah,
too.
I love Joe Thomas. Great streak. Guy's dead. 10,000 snaps. Got his arm ripped off. Dead.
This was a rough weekend for linemen. I don't know if you saw a list anywhere, but there was a lot.
Did you see Jason Peters?
Peters, yeah.
Has anyone found his leg? That was awful.
I didn't see the hit. I turned the game off, but man, that's a tough loss. Him and Joe Thomas are obviously two of the best ever to do it.
Peters, one of the best stories ever. Mm-hmm. Undrafted free agent turns into
tight end.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. Arkansas, right?
Yeah, tight end.
Nuts. All right, we got the rapid fire, Sully. Are you prepared for this? 97.1. All right, we do it every week with DJ. We try to have a good time with it. It is the rapid fire where Sully collects your questions. Now, these are not our questions. These are yours. Some are football, some aren't. Some are serious, some aren't. Some are good, some aren't. Sully, the floor is yours. Go ahead, drop a beat.
All right, question number one. TJ, how many Detroit Pistons can you name right now?
Andre Drummond.
One.
Ish Smith.
Two.
Reggie Jackson.
Three.
Who's the Bobo? What's the guy's name?
Boban.
That's a half a point.
Go ahead. Give him the point.
I don't know. Running out.
Well, guess what? You did better than 99% of Detroiters.
No doubt about that.
Oh, Tobias Harris.
There you go.
He's been one of the better players.
Now, question. How much would you have to be bribed to attend the Pistons game?
Not much. I mean, I'm planning on making a couple games this year.
You're a Red Wings guy, though.
I'm a bigger hockey fan than basketball, yes.
Okay, carry on next.
With Joe Thomas going down for the season and ending his consecutive start streak, can you comment on how unprecedented it is to play with that amount of intensity every day and to be doing it for that long?
It's not even the impressive start streak that impresses me. It's the snaps. I think it was over 10,300, something like that. I mean, that's just insane that not once in his career has his shoe never fallen off or equipment issue or something where you get rolled up on, have to miss a play or two. I mean, that's what really impressive. Just a Iron Man in every sense of the word.
Next.
This is kind of a question in regards to some breaking news. This is my question here. So the ref for the Lions-Steelers game, you talked about penalties, how you've had a little more than you'd like. Mm-hmm. John Hussey, does that ring a bell? Have any issues with him?
I don't think so. I'd have to see a picture. I don't really know who he is.
Can we get a picture of John Hussey in here, please?
Why, do you have a stat to back that up?
No, I was just curious if you had, if it was a Gene Steratore hockey league near.
Is there an official you hate?
No, not hate.
I'm not asking for the name. I just need to know, do you hate someone?
No, hate's a strong word. There is one in particular that I every time I see his officiating game, I kind of cringe a little bit.
Who's what that? Does his name rhyme with?
Jeez.
Would it be Botchkali?
No, not Ed.
Would it be...
I love...
Doger.
Doger.
Parashore.
No. No, I love Gene Steratore. He's one of the best.
Gosh, basketball.
I honestly cannot remember the guy's name. It's not Terry McCauley. I like Terry McCauley. Gosh, I can't remember his name.
All right, next. Keep it moving.
You guys would know what I'm talking about, though, if I showed you a picture.
Are you a golfer? If so, where in Metro Detroit would you like to play?
Mm-hmm.
From Matt?
Yeah, I do enjoy golf. And this past summer was a slow year for me coming off hip surgery. But Northville Hills was always one of my favorite. I'm not going to say any of the other ones because I'll get sirened for them. But.
I like to play. Carry on.
I enjoy Oakland Hills is my favorite.
That is a great course. I beat you on that course.
It was also 99 degrees and I was just coming. It was like 2 weeks after I got cleared from shoulder surgery. So take as much pride in that as you want.
Well, can we get a rematch?
Next.
TJ, do you now or have you ever caught any pushback from members within the Lions organization for doing a weekly segment with Mike?
No. I've actually talked to a few people who listen to the show and enjoy it. So, as boring as I am about some of the football questions in particular, I think most of the people enjoy it.
Do a lot of players listen to the show?
I don't think so.
I hope not.
I don't think there's many players who like sports radio.
No, they shouldn't. It's not meant for them.
But I grew up on it. So, it's just always been. And honestly, my son, anytime we're in the car, asks me to turn on 97.1.
So that's cool.
Yeah, I don't understand it because it's, not a lot that I enjoy in this program.
That guy's, he's a little gentleman. Next.
Will we be getting Tuesdays with TJ in the off season as well?
Hell no. That's my time.
52 weeks a year.
That's my time.
Which NFC North road games do you least like to play in terms of the crowd noise, etc.?
Minnesota's always been tough. I think when I was in Green Bay, coming here to Detroit was, especially the last probably 4 or 5 years, was always tough. Chicago's tough, not necessarily because of the crowd noise, but just the, it's like a dungeon in there, man. The grass is like 8 inches long. It's just, it's a tough place to play. And I've never been a road, visitor at Green Bay yet, but you'll see how that goes in a couple weeks.
Here's a question. TJ, two employees at my job on the morning shift absolutely hate each other and argue all the time, even though they've been working together for decades. Should I go to HR about it?
No, deal with like men. If that involves a parking lot, so be it.
Lang don't be hates a tattletale. HR.
Don't be a tattletale.
All right, next.
Who do you have winning the World Series? Astros, Dodgers?
I'd like to see Verlander get one.
Next.
TJ, can Michigan win in the rain?
Obviously not. Not even against a bad Michigan State team.
Wow, that's unnecessary. Next.
Would you have signed with the Lions if Sue was there?
I don't know. That's a hypothetical question. Probably. I've wanted to play here.
Next.
Do you have a touchdown dance prepared if the moment ever presents itself?
Yeah, but it's too inappropriate to kind of describe.
What?
No.
We need this.
No, it really is. I don't know. I'd probably black out, punt the ball into the stands, get a couple penalties, to be honest with you.
Next.
Does TJ have any rock music in his playlist?
I do. A lot of Bob Seger.
You know who doesn't?
Sully. I know Sully doesn't.
Unbelievable.
Who was the one he said? Wasn't it who was the band? It was
I've got Mr. Brightside.
Yeah, the Killers.
I find Jovi in there, too.
Next.
Oh, come on.
That's pretty much it. We're running out of time here, too.
All right.
A bunch about Aaron Rodgers, obviously. But
we're not doing those this week. My God,
thank you for sparing me.
I know. Well, listen, I mean, we abuse you every week, wouldn't it?
Also, people ask you, is the referee Brad Allen? Is it Pete Morelli? People sending in names.
No, neither of those two.
Who is this person? And it's not Jerome Boger, right?
It's not Jerome Boger.
All right.
TJ knows the name. He just doesn't want to say
it. Honestly cannot. I have to look it up, but I'll show you a picture.
What's the worst?
I can't mention his name on air because it's, NFL kills you nowadays if you...
Well, that's why we played the... What does it rhyme with? Let me ask you this. What's the worst thing you've ever said to a ref?
Do you expect me to say it on air?
No, you got
to
rhyme it.
Nothing that bad. I mean, that's a, you know, blank and horrible call. I mean,
no, I mean like personal. Like, I want you dead.
No,
like, have you ever really
personal.
Gotten after it?
Like, no, I have not personally.
What do you have to say to an official to draw a flag for being an unsportsmanlike person?
I'm going
to
sleep with your wife.
I actually did hear something along those lines, not as PG rated, but and that didn't even draw a flag, so I don't know. What
I'm going to duck your wife. Gotcha.
I think it depends. It depends on the ref, to be honest with you. I mean, some guys are a little more sensitive than others.
But you can trigger the flag. But you, like, it's just, what line do you cross? Is it potty language, or is it directed like, listen, I'm going to rip your head off, or you're, you know.
I think it's anything excessive, you know. If you're going at it, they kind of give you a look that, you know, a little warning. And then if you keep going at it, then it's, you know, you see them kind of patting their flag a little bit. So it kind of backs you off. But I actually had one of those instances last year. It was a game I broke my foot on. I was sitting on the sideline and there was a bad call. And I was going at it with the side judge. And he literally like glanced over at me and told the coach to, he was going to kick me off the sideline and grabbed his flag. And I'm standing there on crutches. I'm like, come on, man. Like, some guys are just real sensitive. Other guys you can kind of banter with. But as long as it's kind of friendly and not too personal, I think most of them don't take it, man, too hard.
I've just always wondered what you had to do. That's all.
Mm-hmm. I didn't sleep with my neighbor's wife.
David.
What
is
that?
God. Supposed to be a man of the cloth.
I don't know what that is.
I didn't sleep with my neighbor's wife.
What is that? I need to hear a backstory on that one of these days.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report,